జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం తిల్యా ప్రవిష్టో శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్యశీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపు గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమోమిషపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదానంద స్వామినిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా మోహ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్వన్నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాయితరతస్ఆర్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవై ముహ్యంతి యల్ సూరయం తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైతవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాబరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసం ఆలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుగా సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహగాదరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయత్తరవోభినేతు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం జైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొనిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురీం న కనికాపి కాపి కాపి నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం
ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം പാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമേ. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതം സുഖദേവ ഗോസ്വാമി ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് ടു പരീക്ഷിത് നൗ അബൌട്ട് ഫ്രം ദി സെക്കൻഡ് കാൻറ്റോ വാട്ട് ഈസ് നോൺ എസ് ചതുശ്ലോകി ഭാഗവതം ചതുശ്ലോകി. സോ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ വി ഹവ് സീൻ ഇൻ ദ ബിഗിനിങ് ഇറ്റ്സെൽഫ് ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ് in the ninth chapter Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Atmamayam Hridayrajan Parasyanubhavatmana na ghadhedartha sambandham swapna drishtivanjasa. It's a important verse there. It says there that soul doesn't have anything to do with the body, soul doesn't have anything to do with the mind, nor has it got anything to do with the intelligence or false ego. Soul has nothing to do with it. But then, how did this relationship happen? This was the question. So, before beginning the Chatushloki, Sudeva Goswami is making it one point very clear to Parikshit that Atma Mayam Hrade Rajan Parasyana Bhavatmanaha. That means, unless there is another force which is known as Yoga Maya, if she doesn't get involved in this, this relationship cannot happen between the body, soul and the material body. And so this identity, we keep repeating this, that the soul has nothing to do with the body, but we are always identifying with the body. So that is the question. How did this happen? So he says here that when we are in the dream state, while in the Swapna Drashtum Ivanjasa, he says there, when you are in the dream state, you identified with the dream body, isn't it? At that time, you don't identify with the gross body. Gross body, you have left it behind. But you identify with the dream body, which is experiencing everything. For example, if you are in the dream state, something is happening, you immediately respond to it, crying or laughing or whatever. Then that reaction for a particular situation in the dream state is coming from the dream body, not from the gross body. Gross body is lying there. It is not in each of, that is why earlier we spoke about this, that one in one state, when the soul is present in the Jagrat state, whatever that's happening, that's left behind with the gross body. When it comes to the subtle body, and when the when the situation has changed, everything happens in the dream body. It's not in the gross body anymore. That's why he says here, Swapna Drashtum Ivanjasa. Whereas in the dream state, when you are in contact with the dream body, the gross body is not not playing any role there at that time. Gross body is not experiencing anything. So, for example, somebody comes and cuts your head off in the dream state. Gross body is not affected, but you feel in your dream body. So each time you have a separate body. In the vacant state you have one body, in the dream state you have one body, in the deep sleep you have no body. No body. So that is the, that's the freedom from all body. That's what he says here, that in the dream state, when that happens with the dream body, there is no, practically nothing happening, isn't it? Only in the vacant state, because vacant state is always under the influence of senses. Senses will always control the vacant state. Whereas in the dream state, everything happens without any senses, but there is a dream body and the experiences in the dream happens to the dream body, but it is not the same way as it happens in the vacant state. That you have to think about it. In the vacant state, something happens. Say, somebody has cut off my hand in the vacant state. Somebody took away this hand off. I see with my senses my hand is gone. I experience it through my body. Physically, I experience, I feel the pain and everything in the gross body. When I go into my dream state, something happens in the dream state. Some disturbances or somebody... What you have to always remember is, in the dream state, everything you are creating. You create the dream state. You know, what it means is that there is nobody present there, but you can create from within everybody there. Isn't it? Just like if I go to sleep tonight, in my dream, all of you can be present there in the dream state. So there, you are not there. Physically, you are not there. I mean, gross body was not there. But to me, all of you are present in the dream state. Who created that? It came from the soul. Soul created that. This is all the potential. In other words, what it is saying is that this ability to create is within the soul. Soul has the ability to create. And to make us understand the creation process. For example, all this gross manifestation, what we are seeing as creation, has come from the soul. So this creation process, to teach us, this dream state is given to us. To teach us that soul has the capacity to create. If you left the soul alone, it can create on its own without anybody's help. Soul has got that capacity to create, which is amazing capacity, isn't it? Soul can create all these things. So soul can create in the dream state. Similarly, the all-pervading consciousness soul has created this gross manifestation or gross creation as well, has come from the soul. So, svapnadrashtum ivanjasa, he says. When, in the dream state, when that happens, just like it has no connection with the dream body, although you are experiencing, but practically you can see, unlike in the vacant state, nothing happens. You experience something, in the dream state something happens. Say the elephant has come to hit you with its both tusks. It's coming very directly against you to hit you. And you sit there and you will cry, probably frightened of the elephant. But as soon as you wake up from that dream state, you see there is no elephant, there is no fear. Everything goes away, isn't it? Somebody wakes you up, you lose everything. So, although you are experiencing it in the dream body, it has no connection there, isn't it? Unlike in the vacant state. In the vacant state, if an elephant comes to you and with the two tusks and try to hit you, with that time you have to run, you have to escape from there. And it can happen that if you don't, the elephant will hit you and your gross body will be affected by that. But in the dream body, it is the other way. In the dream body, elephant will come, elephant will hit you, but where will it hit? It hits only the dream body. It doesn't hit the gross body. So what Krishna, what Sudeva Goswami is saying here, that in the dream state, that sambandham, that connection between the soul, between the dream and the dream body, is a very strange relationship, isn't it? It's not like the relationship in the vacant state. It's a different type of relationship. There, it doesn't happen to the person, anything, but, and it doesn't get affected. Similarly, Similarly, Sudeva Goswami is saying here that the soul cannot have any connection with the gross body unless there is a third power known as Yoga Maya. It is only due to the presence of Maya that this relationship we are experiencing, that I am identifying with my body, you are identifying with your body. All bodily identification has happened because of the power of Maya. That's what he began with. Alpa Maya Amrade Rajan Parasyanubhava Alpanaha Nakhadedartha Sambandha Swapna Drashtamivanjasam. Then Bahruba Vivabhadi Maya Bahrubaya Ramamano Guneshwasya Mamahamidi Manyadim. So although the soul has present in everyone, but due to the influence of Maya, it appears as though there have been, all the soul has been broken up into individual pieces and is present in everyone separately. That is the potency of the Maya. Maya can do that. Anything what you think you cannot do, Maya can do it. That is a Maya's capability. Maya's potency is like that. Maya can do things which we think we cannot do. And the soul also in the same way, present in so many living entities and acting completely independent of each other. And that, Sudeva Goswami says here, is due to the power of Maya. So, that's what we were discussing last Monday. And we also talked about the two processes, isn't it? Bhakti Margam and Jnana Margam. Bhakti Margam is a process of surrender. Jnana Margam is a process of reflection on the soul. So in many instances, that many great devotees, they have also, and the jnanis, they have this realization that Krishna is present in each one of us and making us to do things in whichever way we are forced to do. So eventually, both the jnani and the devotee, they always ultimately realize the same thing. Kabir used to chant the holy name, Ramchandra's name, all the time. And ultimately, he says that inside me also, Rama has come and sat down. And the result of that, I have become non-existent. Ramachandra is sitting inside and chanting from inside. Tutu Karta. He says, you are the doer. Nothing else exists for me. So, eventually, we all chant the holy name and keep saying, Krishna is doing everything. Krishna is doing everything. Krishna is behind everything. And eventually when Krishna gets in, and Krishna himself is doing the chanting at the end. In other words, our independence completely we lose. We completely surrender to Krishna. That means we can come to realize that just like Jagrat Rama, Sotnam Rama, there is in Jagrat as well as in the dream state, it's only Rama that who is present there. That, in other words, I do not exist separately from there. Brahma is saying here, so by Krishna's mercy, he is saying to Krishna that although I feel that I am doing everything, actually you are the one who is doing everything. That is what that expression I mentioned, Natha Nathaya Nati Dham. That is in the verse we saw earlier, that verse 25. Tathabhi nathamanasya natha nathaya nathitam paravare yada rupe janiyamte turupinaham. Tathabhi nathamanasya natha nathaya nathitam paravare yada rupe janiyamte turupinaham. So natha nathaya nathitam, he says. Natha nathaya nathitam. So, here we have seen that the statement from Lord Brahma, Brahma is saying to Krishna that, please, I'm existing in this creation because of you. Brahma is acknowledging that. Sometimes we have seen, we all say we are anatha. Anatha, anatha means we are helpless in this world, isn't it? Anatha. Anatha state. But Natha Nathaya Nathitam, who protects Anatha, one who has no shelter, Krishna protects him. That's why one who protects the helpless, he is Natha. Akara Vachiha Narayanaha Nadha Yasya Sa Anadha. A means Narayana and Aksharanam Akarosmi Anadha. Akarosmi. Akara Vachiha. So actually nobody is Anadha. Nobody is helpless in this world. Because we say that we are helpless, but actually Krishna is protecting everyone at all times. And only then, why did Brahma mention this to, Brahma says to Krishna, please instruct me on my, on the knowledge. Please instruct me the spiritual realization. Give me spiritual realization. In other words, Brahma is asking this question to Krishna. So why is that required? Only then Brahma can continue creation without being bound by the karma, bound by attachment. If the self-realization is inside, then whatever karma we execute will not bind us, will not bind us. So Brahma is saying to Krishna that please instruct me the knowledge necessary so that I can execute the karma without being bound by that, without being bound by that. So that's why he said, just like they give the example that before you cut the jackfruit, you cover it with oil, isn't it, hands, so that it doesn't stick with the jackfruit. So similarly, before continuing creation, Brahma is asking Krishna that you give me that transcendental knowledge, instruct me on the transcendental knowledge, so that I won't get bound by the creation process. I won't get bound by the creation process. So similarly, due to knowledge, we should realize this natural characteristic of the soul, which is nisangatvam. It has nothing to do with the matter. It has nothing to do with the matter. Only after that, we should conduct business in this world, knowing very well individual soul is not affected by anything in this world. It is completely independent. In that consciousness, we have to conduct our business in this world. And that is why Brahma is saying here, so before I get involved in this creation process, you should give me protection. You should give me protection. Brahma has prayed this to Krishna. Brahma has asked this to Krishna. And at that time, Brahma was given the initiation. Brahma was given the initiation, what is known as Hasta Diksha. Hasta Diksha means Krishna took Brahma's hand and shook. And by shaking, the transcendental realization flew through the hand into the Brahma's consciousness. Brahma received the knowledge. It is called Hasta Diksha. There are different types of Diksha. In the Jnana Margam, there are different types of Diksha, initiation. So Brahma was initiated by Hasta Diksha. Brahma was initiated by Hasta Diksha. So when the spiritual, Krishna is now as like a spiritual master for Brahma. So Krishna has shaken the hand with Brahma, and in that process, the transcendental knowledge has flown to Brahma from Krishna. So in this system of giving Diksha, there are many ways of giving Diksha. Hasta Diksha is one of them. Then there is Pada Diksha. Pada Diksha means spiritual master puts his feet on the head of the disciple and he gets initiated. Like Kabir. Kabir is the best example. While Kabir wanted to get initiated by Swami Ramananda in Benares, and one day Kabir was trying to meet Ramananda, but others who were with Ramananda won't allow him to come closer. So eventually Kabir thought about this and he found a way. Every morning Swami Ramananda used to come down. He was a Vaishnava Acharya from the Ramanuja Sampradaya. So he was coming down the steps. So it was dark. So he fell down, he was lying flat on one step. And Ramananda in the early hours in the morning was coming to bathe in the Ganges. And while he was coming down the steps, suddenly put his feet on Kabir And suddenly, immediately he realized that there was some body lying there, and he, by natural way, he chanted the holy name of Ramchandra. Rama Rama, he said, and put his feet. Kabir took that as his initiation, because he put his feet on his head. And Swami Ramananda went that way, and Kabir woke up and paid his obeisances and he left. That was his initiation. So that is Padadiksha. I mentioned also before, Sundaramurti's Padadiksha. Lord Shiva gave him Padadiksha in that way. So initiation in that way, it does exist. There are other ways of initiations also. There are many, many different ways. Jnanamargam, they initiate like this, what is known as Kukudadiksha. Kukudadiksha means, Kukuda means a hen. A hen lays its eggs, and hen sits on the eggs, and after some time, the eggs hatch, the babies comes out from that. Similarly, a spiritual master who is in knowledge of the disciples, due to that association, they touch the spiritual master touches the disciples, and disciples get the initiation in that way. Then there is what is known as Malsidiksha. Malsidiksha means fish. Fish diksha. Why is it called fish diksha? Fish, when it lays its eggs in the water, it leaves the eggs and it goes away. After going away from distance, it keeps looking at the eggs. And simply by looking, it gets the eggs develop, and they develop life, and they come up in that way, and their life continues in that way. So similarly, just by the spiritual master looking at the disciple, there are many instances like that, looking at the disciple gets that spiritual realization just by the guru looking at them. So that potency is there in certain great personalities. They have done that, and therefore it is called Naina Diksha. Just by looking at someone, somebody gets initiated or he gets the spiritual realization. Then there is another diksha called Kamata Diksha. Kamata means the tortoise. Tortoise. How does the tortoise? Tortoise comes from the water to the land, lays its eggs, and then it goes away into the water again. And sitting in the water, it keeps thinking about its eggs, which it has been laid on the ground. Similarly, in spiritual master also, he can initiate people by thinking about the disciple, and in that way the disciple gets a realization. These are all very subtle things. It cannot be explained by anything. These are processes by which it can happen. Maunavyakha Prakatitamate. That means simply by being silent, initiation can happen. By silent being, initiation happen. So Chakshur Diksha. So there are many, many examples like that. And devotees who have got that, when they get the realization, they are saying that what the Vedas are talking about, the spiritual transcendental realization, they have received like a sun shining inside, and they didn't have to even speak about that. Once only they had to look at it. Once only they had to look at it. Immediately that chidvastu, chitta inside, immediately manifested. The realization happened. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, Gopi say this. If you look at it, you will find there that if you do not read that verse, you won't understand the relationship between Gopis and Krishna. If you look into the 10th canto, in the 31st chapter, Krishna is saying there, Gopis are saying there, Prahasitananam prema vikshanam viharanam chade dhyana mangalam rahasi samvido yahrudesprasha kuhagano manakshobhayandihim. Gobiga Gidam, if you look, you will see. There is a 10th verse in the 31st chapter, Gobiga Gidam. Gobis are saying that Prahasitananam prahasidam priya prema vikshanam viharanam chade dhyana mangalam rahasi samvido yahrudesprasha kuhagano manakshobhayandihim. Gopi says to Krishna that every time when you have looked at us and smiled, your love and your activities and all those things what you have spoken. Rahasi samvidoya hridayaspasha. And all of that has actually changed our heart. In other words, if you look at those verses, you can see that words are all spiritual terminology is used in that verse. Samvit. The word is used there, Samvit. Rahasi samvidoya hridayaspasha. Samvit is a word, as you know that, it is used here. Krishna looked at them and smiled at them. Samvit means knowledge. Samvit means knowledge. When Krishna looked at them and smiled at them, immediately the knowledge of the Upanishads manifested in the gopis. Knowledge of the Upanishads manifested in the gopis' heart. That's what gopis are saying. Prakasidam priya prema vichanam viharanam jade dhyana mangalam rasahi samvidoya hridayasprasham rahasi samvidoya hridayasprasha kuhagano manakshobhayandihi. In other words, on a mundane level, if you look at it, gopis are saying that when you looked at it, your smile, your beauty was so affected us so strongly. But from the spiritual side, it is saying here that the word Samvit, Samvit is the knowledge that is spoken in the Upanishads. Upanishads knowledge. That is what has happened to them. Rahasi samvidoya hridayasprasha kuhagano manakshobhayandihim. That it is disturbing us. That is what gopi is. Disturbing means it has actually woken up inside. The reality, transcendental reality has woken up inside. And then they say, nakhalu gobiganandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaral madrak vikhanasarthito vishwaguptaye sakhamudeyivan sattvadam kulem. Then nakhalu gobiganandano bhavan, you are not the son of Yashoda Devi. Now all these statements from gopis doesn't speak that their relationship was very mundane. It all talks about that it's a completely on a very higher spiritual platform, where they are experiencing self-realization. Krishna has just looked at them and smiled. That smile was sufficient to transmit the knowledge to the gopi's heart. Gopis becomes realized at that time. Gopis got realized, and then they are saying, nakhalu gobiganandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaral madrak. That you are actually the soul of everybody who is witnessing everything. Vikhanasarthito vishwaguptaye sakhamudeyivan sattvadam kulem. Only for the benefit of this world that you have come and taken birth among the Yadavas, being requested by Lord Brahma. Now these statements indicate to us that gopis were not speaking to Krishna purely on a mundane level. It's absolutely clear. That's why you can't think of gopis' relationship with Krishna from a material level. It is completely on a fully realized transcendental state. That's what every single verse, if you look, it has got its proper understanding from the spiritual side, from a spiritual position, if you look at it. Normally when we read our gopis were enjoying with Krishna, yes, in order to get this point across, Sukadeva Goswami was very carefully used the words also there. Rahasi samvidoya hridayasprasha. This word samvit, hahladini, these are spiritual words. There is never used in the mundane language. Samvidam. Rahasi samvidoya hridayasprasha. That when that samvit happened, samvit means knowledge. When the knowledge was transmitted, kuhagano manakshobhayandihi, completely their way of thinking has changed. They have become self-realized. In other words, self-realization has happened to them. They were experiencing the happiness of spiritual life, the transcendental life, Brahman realization, whatever way we want to address that. So that is why I say here, nakhalu gopika anandano bhavan akhila dehina mandaral madrakam. So, and he says there, this is the reason that jnanis, this is the reason why that jnanis, they do not keep acquaintance with anyone else except you, gopis are saying to Krishna. Self-realized soul, jnani, they will keep their relationship with only with you, not with anybody else. They keep their association with you. Sakamudeivan Satvadam Kulim. Then if you look, there's also earlier in the 29th chapter, in the 29th chapter also, there was a statement from the gopis. Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasam altman nitya priye padisudhad virartiteikim tanna prasida parameshwaram asma chindyal asham pradam tvaichida ravindanetram. Kurvandihi tvairadim kushalasam altman. That kushala means very experts who are very clever or who are very realized. What do they do? They always keep you inside their heart. They only keep their association with you, not with anybody else. Kushala swam altman nitya priye padisudha adibir artideikim. Gopis are saying to Krishna that nitya priye padisudha adibir artideikim. Krishna was asking gopis to go back, isn't it? And because Krishna was trying to understand the gopis' heart by talking to them, you should now go back, and spoke a lot of moral instructions there to the gopis. So gopis' request, answer to that, gopis' answers, if you read, you can see gopis were not ordinary people, in the sense that already Krishna has given them the spiritual the message has been transmitted to the gopis that they are experiencing that self-realization. And that's why they are saying here, nitya priye patisudha adibir artideikim. Then, patisudha adibir artideikim. Husband, children, and all of these things, what is the use? Gopis are saying this. And because ultimately all of them bring distress to you. Isn't it? That's a very well-known thing. We all know who are in the family life will know that. That every relationship in the family life eventually is distress. Either they will leave you or you will have to leave them. So there is distress at the end. At the end there is distress. So many, with a lot of effort, people create relationships in this world. With the husband, wife, children, grandchildren, like this, in different levels, we have relationships in this world. Gopis are saying, Patisudha adibir artideikim, what is the use? At the end, it's all distress. At the end, it's all distress. So, Tanna prasida parameshwaram asma chindya ashavradam toichida aravindanetram. Asking Krishna, whereas, if our relationship with you, with Krishna, never turns into distress at any time, unlike our other relationship in this world. Every other relationship in this world eventually will turn into distress. That is a known thing. So, the only thing, the truth, real thing in this world, Satya Vastu, the truth is Krishna. Everything else is false. So, that is why he says, when you are present in our heart as the soul, and you are enlightening us continuously from inside, this is all gopis' experiences gopis are talking about. So they did not join Krishna without knowing anything. And even if they didn't know anything, once Krishna has looked at them and smiled, that was sufficient. Immediately the knowledge in the Vedas and the Upanishads were manifesting within their heart. Within their heart. So highly realized souls, they don't need any instructions. They don't need any instructions. Maunavyakya prakritata para brahma tattvam. Though by quietly they can transmit the message. Like Krishna has transmitted the message to the gopis, without talking about you are not this body, you are the spirit soul, nothing was spoken there. But the message is through to their gopis. Gopis have realized it. They are acknowledging that, saying nakala gopiya nandano bhavan. Isn't it? So, Padisudha Annaya Bradra Bandava Adivilangya Dendya Achyudaha Gadaha. So, gopis are saying to Krishna, Kurvandihi Tvairadim Kushalasvam Altman Nityapriye Padisudha Arthabir Arthideikim. That clever people who are highly intelligent, Kushalaha, people who are highly intelligent, what do they do? Kurvandihi Twairatim, they will only love Krishna. They won't love anything else in this world. That is their cleverness. Anywhere else, if you put your attachment, tomorrow you have to take it. You can right away take it for granted that it will bring distress tomorrow. That is, it's an open secret, isn't it? Everybody knows this. We all get absorbed in attachment, relationship with others, but at the end, it's all distress. Everything brings distress in this world. That's why gopis are saying this. Kurvandihi Twairadim Kushalam Swamalman. Clever, intelligent people, they know because it is distress hiding in everybody, they do not create any relationship with anyone in this world. The only relationship they have is with Krishna, with nobody else. That's why I say, Kurvandihi Twairatim Kushalam Swalman Nitya Priye Pati Sudhartabir Arthideikim. Pati, husband, Sutta, children. And what will they create at the end? Arti. That's what they will give you. Husband and children, they will give us only distress at the end. Whereas you, Nitya Priye, you are eternally giving us happiness. This is spiritual realization. This is not on the mundane bodily level. This is what we have to understand. When gopis are talking all these things to Krishna, it's completely coming from self-realization of the gopis. We misunderstand things like that, oh, they love Krishna, therefore, yes, they love, but on a transcendental level, their relationship is there. Not the mundane level where they people love each other, purely based on the body, isn't it? Purely based on the body. Kurvandihi Twairatim Kushalam Swamalpan Nitya Priye Padisudharth Birarthidaikim. So, because they know that Krishna is the only truth. Krishna is the only truth. So, after realization, when they talk like that, what it means is, Krishna means the soul. The soul is the only reality, in other words. So, that when the, even when Brahmavadesham, like Sukadeva Goswami did Brahmavadesham to Parikshit, isn't it? That chapter is called Brahmavadesham, the fifth chapter in the 12th canto, where eventually he instructs Parikshit about transcendental knowledge of the reality of Brahman. That Brahmavadesham, that can be done even in silence, can be done even in silence. So, if the disciple or the devotee is highly matured, pakvam, pakustari, if it is there, then it is possible that simply by looking at that person, the chit shakti inside will immediately manifest, bring that realization to that disciple. So, in Brahma Sutram, there is what is known as the Ubhayalinga Adhikaranam. Ubhayalinga Adhikaranam is a particular chapter. In there it says, Avachani Neiva Brahma Brahma Provacha. In other words, Avachani Neiva, without any words, Lord Brahma, the Brahma Tattvam, Lord Brahma was instructed without any talking about it. So it doesn't require any explanation. Just the presence is sufficient. Just the presence is sufficient. That silence itself is an instruction. Silence itself is an instruction. So, so here Brahma is saying here to Krishna that that please instruct me. Krishna shook hands with Brahma and through that shaking the hands, the transcendental message was transmitted to Lord Brahma. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mukhyandiyal Surayam. So this transmission has happened by shaking the hands. Now, this is something important. Did want to say this more before, but it is the right time to say this. Brahma shook the hands. Krishna shook the hands with Brahma. The ideally, in the Vedic system, the principle is you should not touch others. You may wonder why it is like that. Reason is, if you touch somebody, the psychic energy will flow through the bodily contact. So just because Brahma has shaken hand doesn't mean that we should keep on shaking hands. For this reason only, so many things we do. We people, I see devotees hugging each other, embracing each other, all kinds of things we do. From the Shastram point of view, it's not good to do that. As much as possible, we shouldn't touch each other. That is the principle. Highly cultured and highly advanced people, they won't physically make contact with anyone. Even in the ancient times in the temples, highly educated brahmanas, they will move away if you get closer to them, because they don't want that physical contact. Now, the world took it in a different way, because people do not understand. They say that they are practicing untouchability. That's how it came. But untouchability is not due to physical hate or anything. When you physically make contact with people, there is a possibility that their psychic energy will flow back to you, or vice versa. Now, when a guru touches a disciple, it's different. There, it is kripa. Krishna's mercy is coming through that. And that will happen without knowledge, anybody's knowledge. Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna came back to Dwaraka, if you look in the first canto, you will see there, Krishna went and embraced everybody there. Ashwasa Chashubhagebhir, it says in the Bhagavatam, that he goes, embraces everyone in Dwaraka, even dog eaters. Krishna shook hands with them and embraced them, some of them. Krishna can do that because it's pure spirit. It will not be affected by anything. It is, in fact, the one who got blessed, who got embraced by Krishna, or Krishna has touched them, it's a good thing for them. It won't affect Krishna. But in our conditioned state, if we touch anyone, or if you shake hands with anyone, or do anything like that, it will have its effect on everybody, on all of us. So that's why it is said like that. So here, Brahma shook the hands, Krishna's hands, and says to him, show me the way, what should I do? And Krishna says to Brahma, and that you will see now in that verse, that the what Krishna says there. If you look at that verse, 29, in the Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, verse 29. Yaval sakha sakhyurivesate kritaha prajavisarge vibhajami bhojanam aviklavaste parikarmani stito mame samunnathamado jamaninam. Says here that one friend with another friend. Similarly, when I am continuing this creation, let me not feel any time that I am doing this creation. This is Brahma's prayer to Krishna. Brahma asked Krishna that if I start the creation, will they not be my children? Krishna says, yes, they'll be your children. That means when they suffer and enjoy, will that not affect me? Krishna says, yes, they will, it will. So there is no escape. That is why Brahma is saying this, that once we start this creation process, we will be bound by the happiness and distress of those who are created. That is the fact of life. That's why he says like that. That the Yaval sakha sakhyurivesate krida praja visarge vibhajami bho janam aviklavaste parigarmani stido mame samunnadhamado ajamaninam. So you can see here, just like a friend for another friend, that in my process of doing my service to you, which is Brahma's service to Krishna, is creation, isn't it? Creation is what? Brahma's service to Krishna. In that process, without any anxiety, let me continue this creation without the with the understanding that I am not the creator. This is what Brahma asked. In other words, I don't want that kartrutva buddhi in me. I am the doer, should not be there in your asking. And also this feeling that I am completely independent. Let that thought don't enter into my heart. Brahma says to Krishna in that way. And it is at that time, and we will look into the Chadashlogi now. It is at that time that you can see Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. This is from where Chadashlogi Bhagavatam begins. So it says here, first thing itself, Jnanam paramaguhyam ye yadvijnana samanvidam sarahasyam tadangam ja grihanagaditam maya. So straight away it's very clear that Krishna is going to instruct knowledge to Brahma. That's why it says, Jnanam paramaguhyam ja yad vijnana samanvidam sarahasyam tadangam ja grihanagaditam maya. So Krishna is giving the introduction to Chadashlogi like this. Highly confidential, he says here. Isn't it? You can see there. Jnanam paramaguhyam. Paramaguhyam means extremely confidential thing I am going to instruct you. Krishna says like that, isn't it? So, guhayam stidam tam guhyam. That's all. Guha means a cave. What is hidden inside a cave? Guhayam stiditam. Guhyam means that. It is kept very confidential, secret. Guhyam means confidential, means what? Does that mean that something that should not be spoken in front of others? No, that's not what it means. What it means is that in spiritual life, confidential means it's open secret. In other words, even if I tell you, you won't know it. That is why it is a secret. Even if I tell you, or somebody tells me, I won't know it. So it will remain as a secret for us. Krishna is saying openly, and this whole Srimad Bhagavatam is there, and everybody is reading it, but it is a secret, Krishna is saying there. Why is it a secret? Because only, even if it's spoken, you won't know it. Only when it comes to your experience, you will know about it. Only when it comes to your experience, you will know about it. Just by saying alone, you won't know it. Only when it comes in your practical realization, you will know about it. So therefore, it's a secret. Makes sense, isn't it? Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is a secret for us. Till we know what Srimad Bhagavatam, till we experience what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam, till we realize it, it is a secret for us. Although we may distribute so many books all over the world, it will remain as a secret till you experience it, what's written in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is important because we think that we can just take Bhagavatam and read it and understand everything. I read everything, I've understood now everything, and leave it behind and tell others also. But the fact remains that it remains as a secret for us still. Because we haven't realized it, what Bhagavatam has spoken. Therefore, it is a secret. Guhyam. Krishna also says that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam. It is Guhyam. Confidentiality. Why? Because it's not realized. So what's the point? It may be in the print and the books and everything, but I don't know. I have no knowledge. I have no experience of it. So it remains as confidential. So, Jnanam param Guhyam me. Jnanam param guhyam me, Krishna says here, isn't it? Jnanam parama guhyam me. And then, if you look at the next word, you will see, yad vijnana samanvidam. So, interesting here is, Krishna is saying here, I will give you jnanam along with vijnanam. Yeah? In other words, I'm not just giving you jnanam alone, but with realization. Just to make it very clear. Is it okay? Jnanam, he says, I'll give you the knowledge, but then along with that knowledge, I'll also give you the realization. Krishna can say that, of course, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and he can say that. But, especially, this is the first time the knowledge is being transmitted from the truth to Brahma's level. So he says here, Jnanam paramaguhyam. So, along with vijnanam, I'll give you jnanam with realization. I'll give you the knowledge with realization. Sridharacharya Swamiji says like this in his commentary, Jnanam Shastroktam, Vijnanam Anubhavaha. Jnanam Shastroktam, Shastram will give you Jnanam. Vijnanam Anubhavaha, Vijnanam it has to come in your practical realization. Otherwise it will remain as Jnanam. Rahugana had Jnanam, Jadabharata had Vijnanam as well. Therefore, Vijnanam Rahugana had to get from Jadabharata. Jnanam he had. Rahugana has also studied all the Shastram. He knew everything. But there was no realization. That's why Jadabharata is saying, Bharatmaharshi says to him, he teaches him Mahiyasam Padarajobhishekam. Surrender to a great soul whose mercy you will realize all these things what I have spoken to you. He says like that, isn't it? So Jnanam Shastroktam Vijnanam Anubhavaha. The words in the Shastram is Jnanam, whereas the Anubhuti or a realization of that is Vijnanam. Just by studying Shastram alone, there is no guarantee that you will have realization. Vijnanam need not happen. Vijnanam need not happen. You can study all Brahma Sutram, Upanishads, everything, but you can still be without any realization in this world. You can study all the Shastram, but without any realization. Just by studying alone, there is no guarantee that you will get it. You will get it. This is why we say that you can sit and study the book 2-3 hours every day. You can memorize all the verses. Everything you can do, but anubhavam will not be there. Vijnanam anubhavam. That's why Krishna is insisting on salsangam. In salsanga sevaya bhaktiya. Bhakti and the realization has to happen in that way. That is the Krishna's process, what he has talked about. So, anubhuti samanvitam. And rahasyam. Rahasyam means what? Rahasyam ityukte bhaktihi ityartha. That is Sridhar Swami's comment. Rahasyam ityukte bhaktihi ityartha. Rahasyam means only if there is bhakti inside a person. Rahasyam ityukte bhaktihi ityartha. If there is bhakti inside, immediately this knowledge will manifest. This knowledge will manifest. Because that is where bhakti is required for jnanam. Without that, jnanam won't happen. You may study all the books, understand everything on an intellectual level, and understand many things from Upanishad, Shastram, everything. But in realization, it's not coming. What is the reason? Bhakti is not there. Bhakti means what? Chittashuddhi, purity inside. All raga, dvesham, everything has to go away from inside. Otherwise, that knowledge will not manifest. So he says here, rahasyam bhaktihi sugopyam abhivakshyami nirdeshat. He says, sugopyam abhivakshyami nirdeshat. Rahasyam bhaktihi. This secret of this realization happening is due to bhakti. Knowledge you can receive, but bhakti has to happen in order that knowledge to manifest inside. When Krishna spoke to Uddhava, and Krishna here now speaking to Brahma also, to Brahma he openly says that I'll give you the knowledge, and along with that I'll give you the realization as well. To Brahma he says like that. Jnanam vijnana samanyudam. With vijnanam. Jnanam with vijnanam I'll give it to you. With Uddhava, what did Krishna do? Krishna spoke everything, and at some point Krishna was so pleased with Uddhava's bhakti that the knowledge started manifesting in Uddhava. So these are the important things in spiritual life, that there should be bhakti in the heart, and the knowledge will manifest in a natural way. If the book, whatever we, many great devotees, they didn't study any books. Because there was bhakti inside, all the knowledge started manifesting inside, automatically from within. Krishna started manifesting all the knowledge, shastric knowledge, inside them without any effort. There was no necessity for them to study the books. The bhakti was there inside. Bhakti was the reason. That's why it says here, rahasyam bhaktihi sugopyam abhivakshyami nirdeshad. Krishna will say this in this great secret. This is the great secret of spiritual life. He says there, if you look in the 11th canto also, you will see there that the Krishna says, Na Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, Na Rodhayadimam Yogo, Na Sankhyam Dharma Evacha, Na Swadhyaya Tapasthyago, Ishtapurtam Dakshina, Vradani Yajna Chandamsi, Tirthani Nema Yamaha, Yadhavarunde Salsanga Sarvasanga Apaho Himam. These are two verses in the 12th chapter of 11th canto, where Krishna says the glory of Salsangam. He says, Narathayadimam yogo na sanghyam dharma evacham. That how all sangam, sangam means attachment or impure things inside the heart, how that is taken away by association, and how that attracts one to Krishna. Similarly, yogasanam, all yogic processes, pranayamam or any other spiritual process, dharmam, tapasya, austerity, sannyasam, yajnam, mantram, tirtham, yamaniyamam, none of them will have any impact on me. Krishna is saying there. This is the proof for that. Krishna's words it is, na rodhayadimam yogo na sankhyam dharma evacha, na swadhyaya tapasthyagam ishtapurtam na dakshina, Pradani yajna chandamsi tirthani nema yamaha yadhavarunde salsanga sarvasanga paho himam. So Krishna made that very clear in this 11th canto, that it is not possible, he says to Uddhava, without this salsangam it is not happened earlier. And on the other hand, Krishna also says you will get it very quickly in salsangam. And people will find it very difficult to accept this, isn't it? Because most of the people believe that I have tried very hard, I have chanted so many rounds, I have performed so many parikramam, I have done so much deity worship, nothing has happened. And you can get that in Salsangam? They ask this question. Can you get that? And Krishna is answering that question. Because Krishna's mercy is difficult to understand. Most of the people do not even understand what is this thing called mercy, isn't it? Mercy, they think, is just like a lottery or something. That by fluke it happens. Something, if it happens by fluke, it happens like that. So, and unfortunately, this thing called mercy in spiritual life, it's a peculiar thing that happens, and you cannot understand what that is. This thing called mercy means it's impossible to understand. And normally we say that you can realize Krishna is the supreme truth, isn't it? Ishvara Sakshatkaram, we call it. Or other word what he uses is self-realization, Atma Sakshatkaram, it is called. Ishvara Sakshatkaram is when you refer it to as the absolute supreme personality of Godhead, as Krishna, as you realize that, Ishvara Sakshatkaram. If you realize Krishna as the soul, it is Atma Sakshatkaram. There is a third thing, what is known as Kripa Sakshatkaram, Krishna's mercy coming. So, Kripa Sakshatkaram is the proof for that. But out of these three, Ishvara Sakshatkaram, Atma Sakshatkaram and Kripa Sakshatkaram is the perfect one, or is higher than the other two. Well, the reason for that is, the person who realized the truth in that way, like gopis are all Kripa Sakshatkaram examples, isn't it? They didn't study any shastram. They didn't perform any penances. They didn't go to anyone. Just Krishna's mercy came to them. Same thing with Uddhava. Kripa Sakshatkaram it is. Just Kripa. Krishna's mercy has come. Mainly due to the bhakti. Mainly due to the heart bhakti. Bhakti means purity inside. When we say bhakti, we must understand bhakti means the purity inside. That freedom from false ego, freedom from I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, freedom from all false identities, at the same time complete surrender to Krishna. Complete surrender to Krishna in all circumstances. Uddhava has reached that state. That's why at some point Krishna's love has broken like a dam and started flowing towards Uddhava, and everything started manifesting in Krishna. So great devotees, what do they say? When they become realized, they will not say they will own that it is due to their effort they got it. They will say, Krishna has shown this mercy to us. That's how they will say about it. They will never once say that I have done all these things and I got this self-realization after that. They will never say like that. Always what they will say is, Krishna has shown the mercy. Why? Because when Kripa or mercy comes, You have no other way except to acknowledge that. No choice except to acknowledge Krishna's mercy. That only happens when there is bhakti inside. And that is why when there is bhakti, kripa comes. And when kripa comes, you recognize automatically that you haven't done anything. You start recognizing, I haven't done anything. What have I done to receive this mercy? You start asking the question. What have I done to receive this mercy from Krishna? That is why some people say, I have not performed any austerities. I have not performed any sadhana. Whole life I have been telling lies and wandering around in this world. And like a complete total materialist. But Krishna came and took me and swallowed me. And swallowed me. That's what they use. Swallowed me means that they have completely taken. Krishna's mercy has come and pulled you out from this world. Pulled you out from this world. This is something, it is not a physical pulling over a person. It's something to be understood properly. It is not the work of a jiva, a conditioned soul. It is Krishna's mercy. How does it happen? It will come in such a way that it will create a situation for you that somebody who has got a lot of material desires and wants to achieve so many things in this world, Krishna will put a block to everything. You won't be able to do anything. Everything you try, all fails at the end. Everything you try, everything fails. So at that time, although you have so many material desires inside, this Kripa Shakti, Krishna's mercy, will come in such a way that it will stop everything, and with that power of that Kripa Shakti, it will turn your attention away from the world towards the soul. Towards the soul. That is how the Kripa Shakti works. Krishna's Kripa or mercy works in that way. That we will be making different plans in this world for our material life, in our material advancement or material enjoyment, sense gratification. And we may be making many plans. Everyone will fail. All the plans will fail. And what Krishna does is, continuously when everything fails, you will become helpless in this world. And you will start thinking that this world is useless. That thoughts has to come inside and your attention will turn towards the soul, spiritual realization. That is how that Kripa Shakti works. Krishna's Kripa Shakti. That's when Kripa Shakti works. So, all the things in this world, you'll become disgusted with it. And what else happened? Not only that, you are not feeling any happiness with that, you also start realizing everything in this world is only causing me distress at the end. At the end it is causing me distress. Till you get that feeling, Krishna will keep giving you distress in one way or the other. Distress is a big thing. It's not something we think distress we should not get. Distress we should not get. That's the only prayer to Krishna. Isn't it? So as long as it is like that, Kripa is not there. When mercy comes, it comes like this. It puts you into such a corner. Everything, every plan you are making will fail. And you will become so helpless in this world. Krishna is here, the Sudha Goswami is saying here, that all plans will fail, all your strength will go, that your faith in the friends, relatives, society, wealth, body, capacity, everything goes away. Totally helpless, then you will surrender. Then you will surrender. That is why Atmanivedanam, surrender, is in Krishna's hands, not in our hands. We simply think like that, isn't it? You see, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. 9 processes. The first 8 you can do, with a lot of effort you can practice it. But the 9th one is not in your hands. Unless Krishna puts you into that awkward situation where you become completely surrendered and helpless in this world, Atmanivedanam will not happen. Atmanivedanam will not happen. And the best example is Mahabali. Mahabali's story in the Bhagavatam is talking to us that thing. Mahabali was cornered from all sides, isn't it? And eventually Mahabali had to show his head, and Krishna put the feet. And then he asked Mahabali, where are you going to go now? He had no place to go. So it isn't that Mahabali realized it. Ultimately, it was Krishna's mercy to Mahabali that way. That although Mahabali could have refused anything to Krishna, but Krishna prompted from within to give everything to Krishna. Mahabali's heart, Krishna was present there, encouraged Mahabali to give everything. The result was that Krishna accepted that and surrendered eventually everything to Mahabali. Another story is Gajendra's story in the Bhagavatam. Same way, Krishna put Gajendra to such experiences. Eventually, Narayana, Akhila Guru, Bhagavan Namaste, that stage has happened to him. So, at this, it is when that distress comes, Krishna turns our attention from the world to inside. That thing what you are looking for happiness is present inside. And from inside, Krishna start pulling inwardly. Inwardly he start pulling. In other words, our attention, Shraddha in the world will go. Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. In other words, our drishti, our vision in the external world will go inward looking. And it is at that time when in the advanced stage you experience Vaikuntham, Golokam and all other spiritual world. It is that experience. And Krishna starts showing to the devotee all these different dhamma, the different experiences. It happens inside. And that is what is known as Krupa, Krishna's mercy. And this is what Krishna considers rahasyam, confidential. So, so here in Brahma's case, while instructing him this knowledge at the same time, the experience also is happening to Brahma. In other words, when the spiritual master is instructing, if the disciple is very matured, immediately he will have self-realization at the very moment itself. So, because Parikshit, after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, he has become completely matured to experience that self-realization, and that is why Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned that to Parikshit, isn't it? What did he say to him? He says to Parikshit, in the 12th canto if you look, he says to him that the aham brahma param dhama brahma aham paramam padam evam samikshan almaya almanam almanyadhaya nushkaleyam. That this is the proof that Parikshit has heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, Parikshit has become the perfection of hearing, Shravanam process. He has reached that perfection stage. Therefore, because he was perfect in that stage, when Sukadeva Goswami spoke the final Brahmavadesham, gave it to him, finally he gave him the truth, isn't it? That is that 5 verses before. That Tundurajan Marishedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi, all those verses, Na Jada Pragabodhodya Dehavatvanta Nangshasi. Now we are reading the verses, nothing is happening to us. The same verse what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken to Parikshit, we are reading, nothing has happened. Why is that? Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam properly. And Parikshit heard from Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, when he heard, after the 7th day this is happening, when he heard whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit has understood that he has become completely pure inside, pakvi. Pakvata means that maturity has happened to him inside. And at that time, if Brahmavadesham is given, it will work. A spiritual master doesn't have to do anything after that. He just has to tell him the truth. The truth is spoken and immediately it is realized. As soon as it's spoken, it's realized. Because the disciple is completely matured inside. It is this maturity that we have to try, not to look for the guru. This is our big misunderstanding in life. Everybody says that how can I find a guru? Where can I find a guru? Where can I find a realized soul? It is useless going in that route, because it is this maturity that makes everything happen. When you become completely matured, the pakvata, to receive that message, Krishna sends the person to you to give you that final touch-up. Krishna does that. And the best example is Parikshit. Parikshit decided to give up the body, fully detached, gave and Simon sat down there. Krishna sends Sukadeva Goswami to him. You can't get a better proof than that. Krishna sends Sukadeva Goswami to him to instruct him, because here is a candidate ready and qualified for the message. And then 6 days, because he had 7 days time, Sukadeva Goswami spoke about Krishna for the 6 days. The result of that, Parikshit was completely ready to receive that message. And as soon as Sukadeva Goswami gave the message, Parikshit says, Aham Brahma Param Dhamma, Brahma Aham Paramam Padam, Evam Samikshan Atmanam, Atmanyadhaya Nishkale. So, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit that realize this, that the soul is not different from Krishna. Soul is not different from Krishna. Aham Brahma. I am Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. That stage. Aham Brahma. Param Dhamma Brahmaham Paramam Padam. That Param Dhamam, supreme abode, and that Brahmam, supreme Brahmam, Paramam Padam, that is the supreme abode, Evam Samichan Altmanam, Altmanyathaya Nishkale. Realize this and experience that directly yourself. This is what he says. Evam samichan altmanyam, altmanam, atmanyadhaya nishkale. And realize that in the soul, what you are, is not different from that altmanyadhaya nishkale. There is no separation from him. And he says here, dashandam takshagam pade lelihanam vishanale na drakshasi shariram cha vishyam cha pradagalmana. That dashandam takshagam pade lelihanam vishanale. That the takshaka who is coming and biting on the feet, and pade lelihanam mushanle, and his poison and his body, na drashyasi shariram cha vishwam cha pradagalmana. Takshaka and your own body and this world, these three things are there, isn't it? Takshaka, your own body and this world. These are the three things in front of Parikshit at the moment. Sukadeva Goswami is telling him, none of them really exist. They have no existence. Why? You cannot see them anymore separately from the soul. You cannot see them anymore separately from the soul. That's why he says, Na drakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha prathak atmana. Only soul is the reality. Only soul exists. As soon as Sukadeva Goswami said this, immediately Parikshit is answering, Siddhosmi anigrihidosmi, I got it, he says. This is the way spiritual realization happens. Siddhosmi anigrihidosmi bhavada karuna almana shravado yachame sakshal anadinidhano hari. So you can see from Srimad Bhagavatam that a devotee, Maharaj Parikshit, who was ready, completely mature to receive the message, now automatically Krishna sends a spiritual master to him. So Sukadeva Goswami to instruct him, because sufficient vairagyam has come. Otherwise, how could he throw away the whole palace, the royal facilities, comforts, everything, and walk away from there? That shows that the nature of that Parikshit's heart, isn't it? How detached he is from this world. When he came to know that in 7 days' time he has to leave this body, cursed by the Brahmana boy Sringi, immediately Parikshit took this decision. There is nothing in this world worthwhile holding on to. That is vairagyam. When that happens, he leaves home and goes to Ganga River and sits there. And because he was a devotee and Krishna has shown this mercy to him before while in the womb of Uttaradevi, that as soon as he sat down there, Krishna sends all the great personalities to him, particularly Sukadeva Goswami, to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to him. And when Parikshit Maharaj sat down and started listening to Bhagavatam, first thing Sukadeva Goswami spoke to him so many things, because 7 days has to go, isn't it? So you still have 7 days, that's what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. Don't worry about it, there's plenty of time. So in that 7 days, first he spoke about many things which are not totally relevant to Parikshit's self-realization, like whole process of creation, primary creation, secondary creation, all that. But after saying all that things, when Parikshit said that he wants to hear about Krishna, in 10th canto, 90 chapters, Sudeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam Dashamaskandam to Parikshit. And after that in Ekadasham, he spoke pure knowledge. And now what you see in the 12th canto is that Parikshit has been told, when Sudeva Goswami saw that the time is fast approaching, there is not much time left, he decided to instruct Parikshit on the Brahma, knowledge of Brahma, Brahmapadesham it is called. And when he instructed, he was fully aware that Parikshit is completely ready now to receive this message. And that is how the message was given. And due to that perfect, mature stage of Parikshit, Siddhosmi, Anugrihidosmi, I got it, he says. Got it, sir. So that is how spiritual knowledge is transmitted. That is what we find there. So, Siddhosmi Anugrihidosmi, he says here. Abhayam Darshidatvaya. I have come to the state freedom from fear. Abhaya means freedom from fear. So, here, Krishna says here, what does he say? Jnanam vijnanam. In that verse, you will see here, Krishna says there, Jnanam paramaguhyam ye me yad vijnana samanidam. You look at those words. Each word is important. Sarrahasyam tadangam cha grihana gadidam maya. In that first verse, verse number 30, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, it says, Jnanam paramaguhyam me yad vijnana samanidam sarrahasyam tadangam cha grihana gadidam maya. So, rahasyam, sarrahasyam. Rahasyam means, earlier Krishna says paramaguhyam. This jnanam, this knowledge is very confidential. Till you experience, it remains confidential. It has no value. Although it is open, it's confidential still, isn't it? So that is why it's called paramaguhyam. Then he says, yad vijnana samanyidam, with no realization, I'll give that to you. And then he says, sarahasyam tadangam cha grihana gadidam maya. That rahasyam, confidentiality of this vijnanam, of this knowledge is bhakti. Is bhakti. That's why I say, rahasyam ityukte bhaktihi ityartha. It is spoken as rahasyam, why? It is bhakti. Bhaktihi ityartha. Rahasyam means bhakti. So that is what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasham also, the same thing. So here, you'll also notice another word, tadangam. You see that word? Tadangam. Sa rahasyam tadangam cha grihana gadidam maya. What does it mean? Angam means what you have hearing now, you should reflect on that. Mananam. Mananam is necessary. And nididhyasanam also. That is the process. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. That is the process for that. Tadangam means what you hear in order to get it firmly established inside. In order to get that knowledge firmly established inside, whatever sadhana is necessary, that is called tadangam. Tadangam means this knowledge, what is instructed, in order that it has to get fully established inside, dhradha, firmness, to take root inside, it requires some sadhana also. And that sadhana, he says here, sarahasyam tadangam chagrihana gadidam maya, along with its angam, along with all the other parts associated with that. And that is in sadhana, it is called as shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Shravanam's two other angam or parts are mananam and nididhyasanam. Only then shravanam will be complete. Shravanam is a big thing, isn't it? It's not an easy thing. It's not just hearing by the ears. That's not shravanam. Shravanam, proper shravanam, is a big science it is, proper shravanam. So, how to perform mananam, how to perform nididhyasanam? These things he is talking about here. So that is what is called tadangam. Now, angam has got purvangam, uttarangam. Angam also is spoken like that. Purvangam, uttarangam. That means, prior to getting instructed, you have to follow certain things. You have to develop certain qualities inside. After hearing, getting the instructions, you have to bring it through mananam nididhyasanam. So purvangam, uttarangam is there. Purvangam is this, what we call vivegam, discrimination, ability to discriminate from temporary, from the permanent, and shamam, control of the mind, control of the senses, tidiksha, tolerance, uparadhi, attachment to the truth, shraddha, serious attention to it, samadhanam, these are all purvangam, it is called, and detachment from this world, and nityanitya vastuvegam, ihamutra bhala bhoga viragam, shamam dhamadishal sambhati, and above all mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means intense desire for liberation. All these things. These are all purvangam. And in Shastram they call it as sadhana chadushtaya sambhannam. That means sadhana chadushtayam they are called. That is in the sadhana stage. And afterwards, uttamangam, that is purvangam uttamangam. Uttamangam, after receiving the message, shrodavya mandavyaha nididhyasidavyaha. In the Upanishads it is like that. That means this purvangam and uttamangam together is called tadangam, what Krishna is referring to there. Sa rahasyam tadangam ja grihana gadidam maya. Prior to receiving the instruction from the spiritual master, now we have to take it that it is not Krishna is talking about a, although Krishna is talking to Brahma, this is the process what Krishna is saying. That jnanam paramaguhyam ja yadvi jnana samanyudam sa rahasyam tadangam ja grihana gadidam maya. And Krishna says to him, all these things together, I'll give it to you in one package. Take it, he says to Brahma. Which one? The purvangam, all the sadhana. Uttamangam, all the shravana manana nididhyasanam. The jnanam, the vijnanam, everything in one package, I'll hand it over to you. He says to Brahma like this. See? So, it is like this, and that if in the spiritual life, if the devotee or a conditioned soul gets matured due to bhakti inside, if he gets matured, then the spiritual master has nothing to do. There is no work at all for the spiritual master. It's mostly in the disciple side also. The disciple has not matured from the bhakti process. Through bhakti, he has to come to the stage where, that is why bhakti is to be cultivated. That's more important than anything else. That when that happens, when he is ready, Krishna makes the arrangement. In this world, all arrangements are there. Only thing, we don't understand it. That is the problem. That's how spiritual life works. When we are matured for spiritual life, when we are ready for spiritual instructions, the instructions will come. The reason why we are not finding that is we are not ready for it. And therefore, these things happen. They give the example like this. Camphor. Camphor, yes, you know, if you just light it, it will burn straight away. Similarly, if you are like camphor, then immediately it will catch fire. Immediately, it will catch fire. If it is firewood, it will take a little time. It will take a little time. For example, a wet grass, it won't burn. It's the same example that is spoken in the first canto itself, isn't it? That if you are ready, it will catch the fire. It will catch the fire. So only thing we have to understand is that we are not ready. We haven't done our part. That means in spiritual life, our own sadhana and intense qualifications like chanting the holy name and developing that discrimination in this world, detachment from this world, necessary vairagyam, renunciation, insight, and also the discrimination between temporary and the permanent, shamadama titiksha uparadi shraddha samadhanam, the qualifications mentioned as necessary for development of spiritual life, all these things, plus an intense desire inside to come out of this material existence, cycle of birth and death. If all these things have come, then we are pakvi, we are pakvam, we are ready for it. But because it is not there, therefore, therefore, it is not simply by giving spiritual instruction that one will spiritual realization will happen to him. It's only due to the maturity of the person that the spiritual realization comes to him. So these three examples, camphor, the wood, and the wet grass, three things. Accordingly, the wet grass, nothing will happen. The firewood, it will take time. The camphor, it will catch fire straight away. So accordingly our situation. So the listeners also in the same way, that many times people will find it very difficult, that some people, without instructing them, they will understand, they'll get the message. Some people, even after understanding and instructing them, they won't get the message. They won't get the message. So the listeners also are of different types. Listeners are also different types. So therefore, they have classified this as tamasa shrotav, rajasa shrotav, satvika shrotav. The listeners also categorized into three. One who is in the mode of ignorance, one who is in the mode of passion, and one in the mode of goodness. And then there is a listener who is above the three modes. Listen above the three modes. So tamasam shrotava means one who is in the mode of ignorance. He will hear, but he will sleep. He will fall asleep. But still he will come. He'll come, but he'll sleep. That is tamasa shrotava. Rajasa shrotava, he will hear everything, but he will understand everything in the wrong way. Opposite things. That also happens. They'll understand and they will misunderstand everything. Everything in the wrong way. Satvika shrotava, satvika is the mood of goodness. He will understand everything, he will hear everything, and he will understand it properly. But who is the most matured shrotav? He is above the three modes. Gunadhidan shrotav. Shrotav above the three modes. What happens to him? He is completely matured. In other words, when he hears, straight away the realization happens inside. It is called pratyabhijna. In the Bhagavatam, the word used is pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means, as soon as you hear, it has its effect in the person, one who heard. So, that is the hearing. How difficult hearing is, proper hearing, I'm saying. That's why I'm saying this. That tamasam, sattvikam, rajasam, three modes, its effect on us. And listeners also who are hearing are listening from these three modes, through these three modes. And accordingly the effect also. Rajasa Shrodava, as I mentioned, he will hear, but he will misunderstand. He will take everything in the opposite way. Opposite way. There are so many examples like that. We give the example always that Rajusarpanyayam, that the rope and the Brahmam. That we say that rope was misunderstood by the as snake, isn't it? In the darkness, there was not enough light, so he looked at the rope and he thought it as a snake. So he heard everything, and after that he says, now I understood. So Brahman is a rope, is it? He says, this is how they will ask the questions. Is that like that? That's how they understood. So when they give examples also, they will misunderstand all these things. In other words, that peculiar nature of the person not able to receive the message correctly and able to change, that hasn't happened yet because of the lower modes of nature. So it's called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means, instead of knowing, what is pratyabhijna? Pratyabhijna means nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam. Our pure nature is eternal, always liberated. It's pure and it's always conscious of everything, isn't it? Nitya shuddha buddha mukta, mukta swarupa. That is our nature, the soul. And this will happen straight away. and soham asmi. I am that truth, that realization will come. So as soon as they hear, they'll become that. As soon as they hear, they'll become. That is pratyabhijna. So that perfection, receiving that perfection on the spot immediately, that is the best listener. When one hears Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly these topics related to the soul and self-realization, as soon as you hear, if you experience that, he is the best listener. He is the best listener. Otherwise, we belong to one or the other three categories. One or the other three categories. So you can see that self-realization, we shouldn't, we have a lot of misunderstanding about all these things. We think everything Guru has to do. Guru is responsible for everything. Otherwise we say he's useless, Guru is not doing his job properly. Guru can't do anything about it when you're not on your path. What can the Guru do about it? Krishna is saying, Shastram is telling us, let's say put it that way. Shastram is telling us, when you have developed that purity inside, when everything is, bhakti has developed in the heart, Krishna says, knowledge is in the Shastram, and at the right point in time, Krishna sends the person to instruct him. If provided, that person is ready for it. So being ready for it is more important than anything else. And this is where our attention should be. Not on the other sides of it. Normally what we find today is that most of us wants to find a guru somewhere. We won't know anything. Everybody is taking initiation from someone, we'll also take it from you. Go. This is the 20th, 21st century system. That this is not Shastric system. Shastram is telling us that first you get... That is why in the past nobody was rushing for initiation like the way people are rushing in the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga seems to be so much rush for everything. To get the job, to earn the money, to pay the mortgage, to get the initiation, everything. Equally rushing. So this rushing business has no meaning. It won't happen. Its spiritual life is not finishes one day or one lifetime. It can go many, many lifetimes. So when we are ready, getting ready for it and to receive the message and preparing for that is more important than anything else in this world. Which means that our determination to advance in spiritual path and our desire for self-realization, these are more important. When that happens, automatically, Krishna knows within the heart, outside, He looks after our spiritual interests. We don't have to be concerned about it at all. All the time, He will provide the necessary facilities in this world. It's already there. You don't have to have any concern about it. So, here, Lord Brahma is a Uttama Shrodhava. He's a first-class listener. That is why Krishna says, I give you everything else in one package. It'll be nice if it is like that to us also. But it doesn't happen though. So, I'll give you Jnanam, Vijnanam, and also Sharanagati Dharmam, which is Bhagavata Dharmam. Everything together. And take it now, he says, and he hand it over to him like that. So, for first-class listeners like Brahma, Uttama Shrodhav, he is, everything will happen in 1 second. 1 second. Because we are not very matured in spiritual life, we misunderstand a lot of things, and like everybody else does, we also go and do the same thing. That's what happens in all cases. We think that somebody else must know what he is doing, so we'll go along with it. That's how we do things in this world, isn't it? But it is not like that. It doesn't work like that in spiritual life. It is very much how you become perfect in your sadhana and you develop that consciousness, what's necessary, like Srimad Bhagavatam is saying. When that perfection, pakvada, develops inside, it is Krishna's duty to send you the spiritual master. And that spiritual master, when he meets you in that state, frame of mind, where you have acquired that maturity, automatically there will be the transmission of the soul. There are so many examples to this. If you want to look at it, you can go in the internet. I can give you all the contact, the websites and everything. So, there is the example. Ramana Maharshi had a disciple who was born in America. He didn't know about Ramana Maharshi. He didn't know. If you Google Bob Adams, that's his name, Robert Adams. He was born in America somewhere, and at an early age, in his dreams, a sage used to appear in front of him. A sage's form in front of him, with a white beard and white hair, and a very small figure used to appear for him in his dreams. And this used to happen so often, he didn't know what it was. It was a very little boy he was. And then he goes to school, and there he was going to school and he had to write his mathematics exam. And when he was writing his mathematics examination, he couldn't think about mathematics. On the other hand, in his inside, he was experiencing, I'm not this body. Why should I be doing all this mathematics examination? Can you imagine? He has gone to sit there to write the exam, and this is the thoughts coming strongly inside. And he says there that throughout that examination, I sat down and was thinking about this. What is in this world? Why am I here? And who is that person I was seeing in my dreams? They had no contact with each other. Ramana Maharshi is living in Tiruvannamalai. He was in Arizona somewhere. No contact at all. And then the parents were very upset that this child has no interest in the studies. So they took him to one psychiatrist. Naturally, that's what the parents do first, isn't it? The psychiatrist looks at him and says to him that there's nothing wrong with him. Everything seems to be normal with him. But this child is always seeing this form of a spiritual master, must have some connection from previous lifetime. So he says that I'm seeing a person like this with these features. I don't know who he is. All the time in my dreams he's coming through and all situations. He writes about that, a long article. It's on the website, you can read it. So he says eventually what has happened to him was that this was the same Paramahamsa Yogananda was in America that time. He goes to Paramahamsa Yogananda. You may have heard about him, Yogananda. He was a Vedantist who was propagating Vedantam philosophy through Yogam, Raja Yogam and all that. So he goes to him, joins his school. And while being there, Yogananda was teaching him all the yoga processes to him. But this Bob Adams, he couldn't relate with that. Because his process was different in his mind, it was all about self-realization and spiritual knowledge. That is what was driving him. So one day, Yogananda says to him, I am not your spiritual master. You are coming to the wrong person. The form you are seeing is Ramana Maharshi's form that's coming into your dreams. So go to Tiruvannamalai. It was the Second World War time. You can imagine, traveling was most difficult. They had to travel by ship all the way from America to Tiruvannamalai, which is quite a long, long journey by ship and then by train and by boat and everything. As soon as he was only 16, 17 years old, this boy at that time, Bob Adams was 16, 17 years old. As soon as he decided to got this instruction from Yogananda, he travels. And then he travels to Tiruvannamalai and he goes there and see Ramana Maharshi's ashram. As soon as he saw that form, immediately he recognized it straight away. It's the same form what he was seeing all the time in his dreams. So what it means is that the connection between the spiritual master and the disciple is arranged by Krishna, not by our arrangement. We arranging has no meaning for that. It will all become false then. It will not happen in the proper way. Because in the Shastram, what Shastram is telling us that this Tadangam, what Krishna talked about, Sarahasyam Tadanganja Grihana Gaditam Maya. When we are spiritually matured, Pakvada has come to us, maturity has come to us, and when you are ready for it, the spiritual master must come, and that is Krishna's arrangement. Krishna is there to arrange that. We don't have to take that sort of responsibility on our head. That's what Krishna is saying here. So here, that all these details are on the web. You can see there are so many examples like that. That when he sat for the examination, he is realizing that I am a substance which has no death. This is spiritual realization, isn't it? We are all thinking, I'm going to die. But he, a little boy, was saying that when I was writing the examinations, I was experiencing that I'm a substance without death. Like Parikshit has experienced, isn't it? So Dosmi, Anugrahi Dosmi, says that I'm not this body. And for a second, he's writing the examination, all kinds of things. But he understood that I am something which is not death. And so when in the Vedantam it is like that, when you experience something, that you, when you start realizing something on your own, when you start realizing something, that you come to, you look back into the Vedic literature and you see there that all these things what you are experiencing is a reality, is a reality. So while sitting in the school, in the classroom, for a moment he understood that I am something which has no death. It has happened to many, many people. If you look into the history, you will see this. They have all come to understand that I am not this body. That realization has happened to them at that time. What was the result of all that? He came out with the examination and he got 0 mark in the mathematics exam. The result was he had 0 mark in the mathematics exam. So, so that is where they took him to a person called Mr. Goldsmith. And he was a great poet and thoughtful person. He said to him that there's nothing wrong with you. But this realization he had, he could not take it away from him. So, so you can see from the experiences of these people that when he came and saw Ramana Maharshi, he immediately recognized that form. So where was this connection made? This connection that he is living in Arizona in America. Ramana Maharshi is in Tirunelveli, such a long distance, one separated from the other. Ramana Maharshi doesn't speak English, and he didn't speak the Tamil language, what Ramana Maharshi spoke. So they had no connection. But spiritual level, there was a connection that he couldn't take it away. And his experiences, he writes later. Of course, they are much more detailed. It's available on the websites and all. I'm only saying this for one reason only, that the spiritual connections is not something we, our own effort, we make it. We think some famous guru is somewhere, we'll go to him and see if we can make some connection with him. It doesn't work like that. It cannot happen. It happens in a very subtle level. Krishna makes that arrangement. What is from our side, what we have to do is to prepare ourselves for, be qualified for that, to get that connection with that Mahatma or the great soul whom we are going to be connected with. Just like in our material life, everything happens according to Krishna's plan, isn't it? Our plan doesn't happen. Similarly, in spiritual life also, it is Krishna's plan who should be your guru. And who should be your preceptor or who is going to take you in the spiritual path. That is also controlled by Krishna. Whereas we, in our ignorance, think that we will select a guru, what GBC has told us or Tamil person has told us. This is not proper. This is not right. What can you do? I have to say this. It is not Bhagavatam is talking to us. This system is not the way. In Shastram it is talked about like that. But then, so many things happens in this world in that way, we can't say anything about it. But all I am saying is, in Srimad Bhagavatam and in the traditional system, where Guru Paramparas have happened in this world, many Guru Paramparas have existed, that especially in the, when people have completely matured, acquired maturity in spiritual life, automatically their guidance has come from a higher plane. It doesn't come from the mundane level. It cannot come from the mundane level. It has to come from a higher plane. Because Krishna's arrangement is like that. That Krishna sends that person to him who is really ready for that, receiving that transmission of the knowledge. So, so when he came to see him, this is, it is spoken in that, in the website also you can read. When he came to see Ramana Maharshi, what happened? He went and sat there in front of him. There was no discussion at all between them. Nothing was discussed. He didn't understand the language what was spoken there. There were one or two servants who were cleaning up the place. They were talking to Maharshi. Maharshi was telling them to keep quiet. So our Bob Adams asked somebody who was sitting next to him, what is he saying? He's saying, just keep quiet, he says. That's what he's saying. You may wonder, is this a spiritual instruction? But Bob Adams took that as the instruction to keep quiet. So keep quiet means that you are listening and thinking about reflecting on it. Afterwards, he spent 2 or 3 years in India. Then he went back to America. After he went back to America, he has become a guide for many, many people. And he wrote some books also later on about that. All these things you can read on the web. That's beyond this thing, story. But what I was saying was that when the jiva is pakvam, when the jiva is ready for that, that it need not be that you have to take birth in this country or that country. Wherever it is, A living entity, it can take birth anywhere. But if it is ready for spiritual realization, it is Krishna's responsibility to make sure that the person arrives there, provided he is matured and ready for that. That power is there in the material nature. Material nature has got that capacity to do that. So the duty of bringing us closer to the spiritual master, or bringing the spiritual master closer to us, that power is there in the prakriti. It is there in the material nature. That is why, if you will see there, panchakritya parayana, it is the fifth activity of Krishna. In the Lalita Sahasranamam, it says like this, panchakritya parayana. That means a person who is intensely desiring for liberation. He is called mumukshu. Mumukshu means he wants to free himself from this. And bringing him closer to the Guru, that is, it's a duty of Krishna. In Lalita Sahasranamam, it is mentioned as panchakritya parayana. Panchakritya parayana. That is the duty of Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati Devi's duty, it is to get you closer to that spiritual master in that way. So in that panchakritya parayana, that is the sadashiva anugraha, that is the anugraha shakti or the mercy that is coming. So you can see there, Parikshit Maharaj did not send any letter, email or anything to Sukadeva Goswami, did he? Sukadeva Goswami arrived on the scene. All he did was he went and sat down in the Ganga River bank. Sukadeva Goswami arrived there. So, same thing you will see. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest. Krishna sent Narada Muni there. Is it not? Krishna sent Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj to talk to him. So, Narada came there. Prahlada was lying in the womb of Kayadhu. Krishna sent Narada Maharshi there to talk to him. Haryashwa and Shabalashwa, they were intensely looking for liberation. Although Daksha was not allowing them to go, Krishna sent Narada Maharshi there to talk to them. Chitrakedu wanted to go, and he sent Angiras and Narada Maharshi to him. So every time you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherever someone is ready for liberation, the spiritual master arrives on the scene, sent by superior arrangement. That shakti, that arrangement is in the material nature. You don't have to worry about it. If you can accommodate all these things in your understanding, you won't feel unnecessary concern about all these matters. This is how spiritual life works. This is what I understand from Bhagavatam and from others also who have practiced spiritual life for lifelong. Their realization is that we have to become ready for that. Without being ready, just because everybody else is doing, I'll also give it a try, see what happens. That's not spiritual life. It's not so cheap. Spiritual life is not a cheap thing. We have to understand this. There's some inherent principles in all these things. We have to become ready for it. There is no rush to all these things. When it is ready, when I am pure, when there is enough qualifications inside, and maturity has happened, it is Krishna's duty to send someone to instruct. That is the law. That life is like the seasons changing, rain coming. Krishna has arranged that as well in the material nature. That facility is there, that you don't have to worry about it. So our duty is to prepare for that, rather than thinking that if I get one of the best spiritual masters, I'm escaped from here. That is not going to happen. That's what he's saying here. So, similarly, you'll see there, when Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted, Sri Narada Maharshi arrived there, isn't it? When Chitrakedu was in that state, Angiras Maharshi went there. All these things you can see in the Bhagavatam. When you read all that, at least you can understand that it was not arranged by Chitrakedu, it was not arranged by Prahlada, it was not arranged by Dhruva Maharaj, it was not arranged by Parikshit. Everything was happening in a way that was arranged by Krishna. Krishna's arrangement is there in this world. So, if we are matured, Guru will come, spiritual master will come. Here, Krishna is saying here, I'll give you everything in one package. So, that's why he says there, verse 31, Yavanaham yathabhavo yadrupam gunakarmagaha తథైవ తత్వ విజ్ఞానం అస్తుదే మదనుగ్రహా. దిస్ ఇస్ శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ టు ప్రయర్ టు టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ది చతుశ్లోకి భాగవతం, ఈ సేయింగ్ హియర్ యావానహం యథాభావో యద్రూపం గుణకర్మగాః తథైవ తత్వ విజ్ఞానం అస్తుదే మదనుగ్రహా. సేస్ హియర్ ఇస్ ఎ వెరీ an interesting verse. Yadrubam gunakarmagaha yavanaham yathabhavo. Krishna says to him that my pure identity, who I am, which is spiritual, completely spiritual, and with all my swarubam and gunam, yadrubam gunam karmam, swarubam gunam karmam, in other words, all my manifestations, all the qualities and all the actions, karmam, all of these things, in its pure form, that tattvam, you should also experience, he says to Brahma. You should also, tathaiva tattva vijnanam astute madanugrahad. In other words, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvada tektva deham punarjanmam neiti mamedi sarjuna. Krishna says, always devotees ask, what does this mean, this verse, isn't it? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvada. To understand, Krishna is saying there, janma karma cha me divyam, my birth, my activities, they are divine. And if you understand them in truth, tattvada means in truth, then if you understand them in truth, tektva deham punarjanma neidi mameti, that after you give up your body, you don't have another birth again, and you will come back to me. Krishna is saying there. So we ask the question, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo ve, what does this mean? Veti tattvada means, isn't it? Always people ask this question. How many times this question has come up in the classes? I can't tell you. So many times people ask this question. There's a statement like that in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvada. So that is to show that Krishna's appearance, Krishna's activities, Krishna's transcendental nature, is there something to understand about that, tattvada, in truth. That means it is not simply what you read, there is more to it than that, isn't it? Janma karma cha me divyam, they are divine nature of Krishna, veti tattvada, in truth, it says, veti tattvada. If you understand that, understand means not with the mind, if you realize it, tektva deham punarjanmam nevam, tektva deham punarjanmam nevam mameti, you will not have punarjanmam, you won't take another birth again, and mameti, you will come back to me, Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna. So that verse is a important verse, and Krishna is saying the same thing here to Brahma. Yavanaham yadhabhavo tadrubam gunakarmaka tadhaivam tattva vijnanam astude madanugraha. That tattva vijnanam, what is spoken in that Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying Krishna is saying to Brahma that tathaiva tattva vijnanam, that tattva vijnanam astude madanugraha. By my mercy, you will understand it, you will get it, that tattva vijnanam. So tattva jnanam is the goal, isn't it? Tattva jnanam is the goal. Because without tattva jnanam, it will not happen. In the Bhagavatam, if you look into the first canto also, you will see there that about tattva jnanam he is talking about there. Sudha Goswami says to, in the second chapter, he says, kamasya indriya pridir labho jivedaya vada jivasya tattva jnyasa narthoyascheha karma bhi. Kamasya indriya pridir labho jivedaya vadam. That the result of kamam, sense gratification, kamam means desires or sense gratification, not indriya pridhi. Indriya pridhi means gratifying the senses. The purpose of it is actually to sustain life in this world. Kamasya indriya pridir labho jivedaya vada. That what else is there? That you are satisfying the desires in this world only to survive in this world, all desires. For example, eating, sleeping, they are all Indriya Preeti. All that is executed only for sustaining this body in this world. Lapo Jiveda Yavada, where other profit is from there. But Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa, Jiva has only one business, that is Tattva Jijnyasa. So Tattva Nartoyas Cheha Karma Bhim, not otherwise by karmam, acquiring wealth and going to the heavenly planets, none of them. That's not the goal. That's what he's saying here. Jivasya tattva jijnyasa na arthoyas cheha karma bhi. There is no other karmam or fulfilling the desires is not the goal. On the other hand, jiva life is only meant for one purpose. Jivasya tattva jijnyasa. Tattva jijnyasa is the goal. So tattva jijnyasa is the one what is expected from us by Sudha Goswami. And that is why he was willing to talk Srimad Bhagavatam to Shaunagarishi and others who were present there. If you look Bhagavatam carefully, you will notice a lot of interesting things there. When Sudha Goswami came to Nanisharanyam, all the thousands of sages who were present there, they all sat down to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shaunagarishi and others are more educated than Sudha. That also you have to remember. Sudha Goswami is in relationship with Shaunagarishi is less educated. Shaunagarishi is a highly advanced personality. He has written a book called Shaunaga Shiksha, a commentary on Rigvedam. It's famous, it is. And many of the sages who were present there, they were also higher than Sudha Goswami. Sudha Goswami, being born in a lower family and less educated, only educated in Puranas he was. But he had this Srimad Bhagavatam with him. So Shaunagarishi says to Sudha Goswami, let us hear Srimad Bhagavatam from you. After all, you have received this instruction from Sukadeva Goswami, haven't you? He says. At that time, Sudha Goswami acknowledges saying that we understand I am not that qualified in front of you to speak Bhagavatam. He says that, like that, to them. I am not that qualified to speak to you Srimad Bhagavatam, because by all means you are higher in all levels, and spiritual level, especially, you are much more higher. Basically what it is, all these Shaunagarishi and others, they are all very educated and they can read Bhagavatam, but they like hearing. This is the reason. They want to hear. They are good at hearing, therefore, because they know that is the best process. They could sit there and they can just hear from Sudha. And not only that, Sudha Goswami has already been authenticated by Sudev Goswami. You should go and speak Bhagavatam to Naimisharanyam. So that's why he came to Naimisharanyam at that time, isn't it? So what I'm saying is that in that meeting, what happened was that Sudha Goswami and Shaunagarishi had a conversation. In that conversation, Shaunagarishi says to Sudha Goswami that when you start speaking Bhagavatam, there will be a lot of unusual things can happen. For example, first of all, to get an opportunity to hear Bhagavatam is a very rare thing. It's not so freely available, isn't it? Properly Srimad Bhagavatam to hear, that opportunity doesn't come very easily. Somebody has to arrange that, and somebody should speak and somebody should be there to listen to Bhagavatam. So that opportunity is not given very easily, number one. Number two, to come to Srimad Bhagavatam and to hear Bhagavatam, one has to feel an intense desire inside, isn't it? An intense desire inside. Because so many things in this world can take your attention away from Bhagavatam, go into something else. So many other business in this world we have got, and all that things can take our attention away from Bhagavatam. Thirdly, even if you want to come, the circumstances should be favorable. Many cases, what happens? The husband will say, why do you want to go to the wife? Why you want to go and hear Bhagavatam? Why don't you stay home? If everybody in the family becomes negative for hearing Bhagavatam, what can you do? So there is problem there also. If you get an environment favorable, it's nice. But if everyone in the family is not helping you, supporting you, there is always problem there, isn't it? To go to Srimad Bhagavatam classes, they will always create difficulty. I know many people who are in that situation, that either there is no help from the husband or from the wife or from the children. Everybody turns against you when you want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Leaving aside all that, suppose at home if you have some problem, somebody is very sick and requires attention, or many any other thing, problems at home can happen, you may not get to hear the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. A death happens, things like that. A death happens at home, or somebody close to you is very ill at home. Where is the opportunity to go to Srimad Bhagavatam? It may not happen. So there are many things connected with hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We should not simply think it's just that driving the car and getting there and listening to it. That's not Srimad Bhagavatam. So knowing all these things, Shaunaga Rishi says to Sudha Goswami, what we have done when we have started this sacrifice, when we came to know that you are going to come and speak to us Srimad Bhagavatam, we have invited death personified, which is time, invited him to come and listen Bhagavatam here. Therefore, nobody will die. It's there in the Bhagavatam. You can read that. I'll show it to you where that verse is. It is in the first canto itself, where the Shaunaga Rishi is saying this to Sudha Goswami, that this is how it has been organized, that even the death personified, who is time, which is time personified, he has been invited to come and hear Bhagavatam. And because he is present here, nobody will be affected by death. Even that guarantee is given. In other words, Shaunaga Rishi and others knew that anything can happen any moment. They are so conscious of that, and everything can become disturbed. Everything can become disturbed. It may not happen. To such an extent, they were serious about hearing Bhagavatam. Aham chadhigamam tatra nivishtastadanugrahat so aham vashravayushyami yathadidam yathamatim. So he says here that Sudha Goswami says here, yathadidam yathamati. I will talk to you. Aham chadhigamam tatra nivishtastadanugrahat soham vashravayushyami yathadidam yathamati. Yathadidam yathamati. According to my understanding, I will talk to you. That's what Sudha Goswami says there. Sarvavede dihasanam saram saram samudradam sadu samshravayamasa maharajam parikshidam idam bhagavadam namam puranam brahma samidam uttamashloka charidam chakara bhagavan rishi prayobavishtam gangayam paridam paramarshibi krishnesudhamobhagade dharmajnanadibisaha kalavunashtadashamesha puranarkodhinodida tatra kirtayado vipra viprasher buritejasaham. So here in these verses you can see that that they were fully prepared to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and for that they have made all arrangements before they have started discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the interesting thing here is that this spiritual life is an amazing thing. Spiritual life is an amazing thing. And this knowledge, Brahma Vidya, transmission of Brahma Vidya, is also very amazing. So here you will notice one thing in this verse, that tadaiva tattva vijnanam astute madanugraha, by my anugraham, by my mercy, by kripa, Krishna says, you will get it. By my mercy, you will get it. In other words, first the mercy has to come, and then the knowledge will come. First the mercy has to come. So without mercy, the Shastram will remain a complete unknown thing. Completely unknown thing. Only it will be darkness. Just like if you show a mirror to a blind person, it doesn't mean anything, isn't it? Similarly, Shastram also, if there is no Krishna's mercy, it is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That is why it's spoken in that way. That the yavanaham yadha bhavo yadrubam gunakarmagaham tadaiva tattva vijnanam astute madanugrahan. Each word is important because they are all part of the package Krishna is talking about. Madanugrahan, only by my anugraham, by my mercy you will get it. So first, Krishna has given the mercy to Brahma. After giving the mercy, everything else is flowing properly after that. It is coming to Brahma. So Madanagraha. So that is why first Krishna says, I am giving you the mercy. And because I have given you that mercy, let everything manifest in you. And whatever I have spoken, let that manifest in your heart. Madanagraha. So that is the first thing what he has given to Brahma. First he gave the mercy that you can have all this. And then he spoke the knowledge, and along with the realization and all the qualifications necessary for realizing, which is called Purvangam, and all what he has to do after receiving the knowledge, which is called Uttamangam. All of that together as a package, he gives it to Brahma. Sridhara Swami mentions that in his commentary. What he says is, Nanu tva darshanepya asamartoham katham jnanadigarisyam tatraha yavanidi yavan swarupadaha yadhabhavo yani rupani gunaha karmani chayasyaha. This is Sridhara Swami's comment on that. He says like this, that tathaiva ahamidi, I am giving you the mercy for all of these things. And saying all these things, says here, Tanu to darshanepya asamartoham. Even though you are may not be qualified, but katham jnanadigarisyam, but I make you qualified. That is mercy. Brahma on his own was not qualified, but Krishna says, I make you qualified for that. Tatraha yavanidi yavan surupataha yadabhavo yani rupani gunaha karmanija yasyaha. That my surupam, who I am, means self-realization. Yadha bhavam yani rupani gunaha karmani cha yasya. My form, my gunam, my transcendental qualities, my transcendental activities, and all these things you will understand because of my mercy, Krishna says. Because of my mercy. So from here, nani tvaddarshanepya asamartoham. That atavarishyon asamartaha. That you don't have that, you are not that qualified to get it. But jnanadigarisyam tatraha yavanidi. But my mercy, you can have it. Jnanadigarisyam tatraha yavanidi. Yani rupani gunaha karmani jayasya. So, here you will notice one thing, that Chadishlogi Bhagavadam begins from now. And that four verses, he begins now. Let us read that four verses first. Verse 32. अहमेवासमेवाग्रे नान्यद्यल् सदसल्परम् पश्चादहं यदेदच्छाम् यो वशिष्येदसोऽस्म्यहम् अहमेवासमेवाग्रे नान्यद्यल् सदसत्परम् पश्चादहं यदेदच्छाम् यो वशिष्येदसोऽस्म्यहम्. Is that verse number 33? Is it 33? Yeah. Okay. अहमेवासमेवाग्रे नान्यद्यल् सदसत्परम् पश्चादहं यदेदच्छाम् यो वशिष्येदसोऽस्म्यहम्. Now this is the seed verse. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam has come from this verse. It's amazing, isn't it? That one verse covers the whole message very precisely in that verse. Aham evasam evagre nanyadyat sadasatparam paschad aham yadedacha yo avashishyadasosmiham. That is all Krishna has to say. And with that verse, everything was transmitted. All the Srimad Bhagavatam has come to Brahma's heart. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. So everything happens in a very subtle level in spiritual life, isn't it? We think that everything needs to be explained in detail, whereas Brahma was not given any explanation. But as soon as the verse was spoken, and as soon as Krishna's mercy followed first, Kripa has come with that the knowledge, with that realization, with all the sadhana what he needs, everything has already been completed. We'll read the other three verses as well. Hridayartham yat pradiyeta na pradiyeta chalpani తద్విద్యాదాత్మనో మాయాం యథాభాసో యథాతమాం కృతేర్థం యత్ ప్రదీయేత న ప్రదీయేత చాత్మని తద్విద్యాదాత్మనో మాయాం యథాభాసో యథాతమాం కృతేర్థం యత్ ప్రదీయేత న ప్రదీయేత చాత్మని తద్విద్యాదాత్మనో మాయాం యథాభాసో యథాతమాం యథా మహాంతి భూతాని భూదేషు చావజేష్వను ప్రవిష్టాన్యప్రవిష్టాని తథా తేషు న తేష్వహం యథా మహాంతి భూతాని భూదేషు చావజేష్వను ప్రవిష్టాన్యప్రవిష్టాని తథా తేషు న తేష్వహం ఏతావదేవ జిజ్ఞాస్యం తత్వజిజ్ఞాసునాత్మనా అన్వయవ్యతిరేకాభ్యాం యత్స్యాల్ సర్వత్ర సర్వదా ఏతావదేవ జిజ్ఞాస్యం తత్వజిజ్ఞాసునాత్మనా అన్వయవ్యతిరేకాభ్యాం యత్స్యాల్ సర్వత్ర సర్వదా. ఓకే, అహమేవాసమేవాగ్రే నాన్యద్యల్ సదసత్ పరం పశ్చాద్ అహం యదేద చ యోవశిష్యేద సోస్మ్యహం హృదయర్థం యత్ ప్రదీయేద న ప్రదీయేద చాత్మని తద్విద్యాదాత్మనో మాయాం యథా అభాసో యథాతమా యథా మహాంతి భూతాని భూతేషు ఉచావజేష్వను ప్రవిష్టాని అప్రవిష్టాని తథా తేషు న తేష్వహం ఏతావదేవ జిజ్ఞాస్యం తత్తు జిజ్ఞాసన ఆత్మన అన్వయ వ్యతిరేకాభ్యాం యత్స్యాల్ సర్వత్ర సర్వదా. సో దీస్ ఫోర్ వర్సెస్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ చతుశ్లోకి భాగవతం. అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ ద ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ ఈస్ ది ఇట్ ఈస్ ఏకశ్లోకి, ఇట్స్ ఓన్లీ వన్ వర్స్. ది అదర్ త్రీ వర్సెస్ ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఏ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు explain that first verse little bit more in depth. The other three verses were spoken, but it is that first verse that is important. In Vedic literature you will see everything like this. Whatever the great personalities, when they want to say something, they will put it in a nutshell first. In a nutshell they will tell you something, that will be a very serious topic, and then they will expand it in a big scale, and then they will conclude it in summary. And that is the way they instruct all the all their disciples. They do like that. In Bhagavad Gita also you will see the same thing. In the Bhagavatam also it's like that. That is the in Ishavasya Upanishad also you saw that the first verse Isha Upanishad, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yad kincha jagatyam jagat tena tektvena punjita ma grha kasya siddhanam. That is the key verse in that Isha Upanishad. In order to elaborate that and explain it, all the remaining verses were spoken. There is only reason why other verses were spoken. But message is that verse. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam also, Aham evasam evagre nanyadit sasad param paschadaham yadhedacha yavashishyada sosneham. If you have caught that verse well, then you have understood everything. Srimad Bhagavatam you have understood then. There is nothing more to understand. But to realize that verse is the most difficult thing. In other words, that is what Krishna is saying. That's where Krishna's mercy is necessary. Everything can be spoken in a few words. It doesn't require a big... It is not due to expanding things that you will acquire, understand, you will capture the message. Rather by that maturity inside, Shravanam. That maturity inside, that is the key behind it. That is why Krishna is saying here that the the four verses that... first thing Krishna says here to Lord Brahma, before this creation started, what was here before? He says, only I was there. Aham eva asam. Aham eva asam. Nothing else existed before creation. That's the first thing he says. Before creation started only Shruti Vakyam. It is a Vakyam from the Upanishads also. Atmanam ida agram asid. Only Atma, the soul. When Krishna says I am, was present, means Atma alone was present. That's the point. First thing Krishna is clarifying there. Aham eva asam. Aham eva asam. Only I was there in the beginning. Means, aham eva, you can take, if a devotee says, you will say only Krishna was there. Jnani will say only the soul was there. That's only the difference is. There's no other difference in that. The soul only existed from the, which they'll refer to as Brahman. Devotee will refer to it as Krishna. That's all. So, Krishna existed or Brahman existed, only they, Brahman existed or Krishna existed, nothing else existed. Aham eva asam, aham eva asam. That is the first thing he had to say. And after saying that, there was nothing else apart from that. There was nothing else existed without that. Only that existed. Nothing else was existing. Aham eva asam. Na anya sad asad param. Na anya sad asad param. No asad or sad apart from that existed. In other words, there was nothing gross or subtle, stulam or sushmam, or charam or acharam, moving or non-moving, nothing existed. Except me, the soul. The soul existed. In other words, only perfection existed. Only perfection existed. Perfection came imperfection. This is a very important thing with the science and shastra. Shastram says, from perfection comes imperfection. We say, from imperfection comes perfection. This is the difference between Shastram and the science. This is why we have so many problems with the scientists. Better not to go after scientists trying to convince them, because they are so convinced on this one thing, that from imperfection, they are trying to become perfect, isn't it? Their research work, scientific effort and everything is to become perfect. Shastram completely refutes this. They do not accept this. From perfection comes imperfection. So initially only perfection existed. All imperfections has come afterwards. It became more and more and more imperfect, and now we are as we are today. Most imperfect we are today. Very difficult to digest that, isn't it? But Shastram is saying to us like that. It is a fact also, you can see in your own life, that you look at anything, it is from perfection that imperfection has come. Not from imperfection, perfection has come. Once you accept, this is why Darwin's theory, we have strong against that. Darwin is saying that we were earlier lower in species, and then we developed perfection, we have come to this perfect what we are today. Perfect Dhinadhyatma now. So this is how he is proving that. But Shastram is telling us, from that perfection, everything started deteriorating. And in other words, more and more degradation and deterioration happen. Eventually, we are in the most imperfect state as we are today. That matches with the statement, Satyugam, Kriyayugam, everything was perfect. As it advanced, Traidayugam came less perfect. Dwabaragam, more imperfect. And in Kaliyugam, the worst situation. So, you can see how Bhagavadam does not go with the science. And if you try to tell the scientists, oh, we are all doing the same thing, what you are telling is what is there in the Bhagavadam. No. What they are saying is not there in the Bhagavadam. Either they accept this understanding. And this understanding is difficult to get through many people's mind who are very much in the intellectual platform. Or intellectually, they are trying to find out that their research work will bring perfection. But you can see, so many years they are doing research work, isn't it? What has happened now? Where is the research taken us to at this moment in time? Except that we have become more and more in trouble with all the research what they have done. With all the research they have done, isn't it? So anywhere, anything, any situation, if you study in this world, you will notice that we are in a situation now, actually we have fallen down from our perfectional stage. Purnatvam or completeness is only in the soul. Remember? Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnad, Purnam. Shastram is hammering this onto our head, telling us Purnatvam is in the soul, not in the body. You can't become perfect. Purnada cannot come to you just because you are in the state you are thinking in your false ego that you can become perfect. The Purnatvam is only in the soul. Complete perfection is in the soul. That's the most important point. And that's exactly what he is saying here. Aham eva samevagre nanyadhyat sadasat param. And he says here that Purnam, it is after that Srishti happened. Creation happened after that. And when Srishti happened, what happened? So many names and forms have come about from the soul. Namarupam. Namarupam vihaya. Bhagavatam will say this later on another place. It says, different names and different forms are manifested from that perfect source. That is how creation happened. Creation is nothing but a lot of name and form, isn't it? Different species is nothing but name and form. We have got different names, human species, devas, danavas, guhyagas, kinnaras, gandharvas. All different species are spoken in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Who have all been created later on. So, when you accept this principle of Srimad Bhagavatam, the best thing what you can do is not to listen to any of these scientific conclusions. It's only wasting time. It cannot help you. In spiritual life, it cannot help you. Because science is like that. That is, it's a Jadavidya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it as Jadavidya. Jadavidya means it has no sense. It makes no sense at all. That it may temporarily Maya, it is Maya's power is the science. The science is nothing but another aspect of Maya. Maya is playing with them also in the same way. They will invent something. Tomorrow the very thing they have invented will become a cause of our problem. Is it not? We know so much research was done before they invented the bomb. Atomic bomb, isn't it? During the Second World War time, all the big powers, they were spending so much money on research work. And the very person who have invented this bomb, he regretted himself for what he has done. Is it not? You know that story, isn't it? So you can see, Maya will not allow you to go beyond her. She has complete grip on us. And she will play with you. And if you get victimized by Maya, your mind will go in that direction. In everything, you look at this world, it is like that. In everything. Maya will tempt you to do something. And you'll go and do it. And then you'll later on regret about it. For what you have done. And it fires back on you. The same thing. Whether it is a war, whether it's bomb making, or whether it's anything else, whatever it may be, research work, scientific work, aid, whatever kinds of things what in the United Nations and others are involved in, Prabhupada had no faith in any of these things. Prabhupada said, complete waste of time. Because when you realize what Shastram is telling us, and if you have lived a life in this world, at that stage in life, when you see living entities suffering in this world due to ignorance, that's all they can tell you. That don't waste your time. At least try, give it a chance in this life at least to become Krishna conscious, he said. That this human life is given to us for that purpose. If you don't utilize it, you have lost that chance. All the bombs you have made, all the United Nations you have discussed, all at least at the end, a waste of time. This is the point. So he says here that the all the namarupam, names and forms have come from creation. From creation. Then paschadaham, after that also only me existing. Which one? After this namarupam has been created, eventually they also go. Namarupam will not stay, isn't it? Namarupam cannot stay. For example, somebody has a particular name and a particular form. One day his form will disappear and his name also will disappear along with that. Is it not? So, namarupam also will not stay. That's why Krishna is saying there, paschad aham, only I will remain, means the soul alone will remain. Always you have to see Krishna as the soul of everyone. Otherwise it is difficult. If you start seeing the body alone, Krishna, of course Krishna's body and soul are non-different. Krishna is spiritual. But as a manifestation of Krishna in this world, in all living entities, it is the spiritual nature of Krishna, who is present in everyone as the soul, that we must take into account. So, in everything at the time of devastation, when everything gets destroyed, avashishyeda sosmeham, only I will remain. In other words, only the soul will remain. Only the soul will remain. So, aham evasam eva agre Nanyadil sadasat param, yascha adaham, idedacha, yoga shishyada sosmyaham. Only I will remain. So we'll stop there today and we'll finish this next Friday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.